It's summertime, and it's camping season for a lot of folks. And it's also church camping season. Last week, I was at a discovery camp for a denomination, and we were with kids who were 8 to 13 years old. So this reflection today is inspired by those kids. Let's pray. Dear God, be in these words. Be in the thoughts and prayers that came before these words, but be in these words. May they be your word for us today. Amen. Kids can be picky eaters. Kids between the ages of 8 and 13 can be very picky eaters. And kids between the ages of 8 and 13 at a week-long sweep-away discovery camp can be very, very picky eaters. Or at least some of the kids there were. For breakfast, some of those kids only wanted bacon, oh, and ketchup. They wanted no toast, no potatoes, no fruit. Just bacon and ketchup. And for lunch, some of the kids only wanted grilled cheese sandwiches and ketchup. No soup, no salad, and no fruit. And even with their grilled cheese sandwiches, some of those kids only ate the middle, and they left the crust on their plate. If you're a parent, a grandparent, an older sibling, or if you've ever been asked to babysit kids, this is not groundbreaking news. You know that kids can be picky eaters. Today's gospel reading from Mark chapter 6 is like some of those kids' meals. Only some parts of it were included in our reading for today. We didn't read verses 30 straight through 56. We only read verses 30 to 34, and then verses 53 to 56. The middle part, verses 35 to 52, those were left out. This amounts to 17 verses. But those 17 verses include stories like the feeding of the 5,000, and Jesus walking on water. The feeding of the 5,000, which should be called the feeding of the 5,000 men and countless scores of women and children, is the one where Jesus' disciples want him to send away the crowd so that they can fend for themselves and get their own meal. But Jesus turns it around on his disciples, and he tells them to give all those people something to eat. So 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish later, this meal is somehow enough for all those people to be filled with leftovers to spare. And then we have Jesus walking on water. That's the story where he tells the disciples to go on a boat, to travel ahead of him to the next place, while he goes to a mountain to pray. And so while they're in this boat, they don't expect to see him until the next day, and at least on dry land. And they definitely don't expect him to see him walking towards them on the water like a ghost. But Jesus comes to them walking on the water to calm a great wind that had caused their boat to struggle. The wind is calmed, but the disciples aren't. They're left shocked and confused. These are 2 of the most famous stories about Jesus. They're part of a larger passage where our gospel reading is taken from. But for some reason, they're not included in our reading for today. I think this is weird. In grilled cheese sandwich terms, those stories are the soft, buttery bread and gooey cheese middle. In grilled cheese sandwich terms, we only ate the crust. But what's in the crust? What's in the parts that we did read today, that Jan read for us today? The parts that aren't as well known or iconic about Jesus. What's in the crust? The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place. In the passage before those verses, Jesus had sent the 12 disciples on a mission. He sent them out two by two, and he gave them authority to heal people. They cast out spirits, they anointed people with oil, they cured those who were sick. So when we get to our passage in verse 30, the disciples have come back from their mission, and they tell Jesus what they've been up to. And Jesus listens to them. Then he tells them to go to a deserted place and to rest for a while, since many were coming and going, and they couldn't even eat. In this crest of a passage, the part that isn't well known, the part that wouldn't be considered the best part, the disciples are center stage. They are the healers. And Jesus tells them to rest, and it's like he's saying to them that old scripture, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And instead of the feeding of the 5,000, which highlights how Jesus feeds thousands of people, here in these verses, it's more like the feeding of the 12. Something not quite as miraculous or awesome, but it's important too. Jesus tells those who have worked hard, those who have brought healing to people's lives, to go somewhere and to rest for a while. Jesus wants those people to eat. These four verses aren't as well known, they wouldn't be considered the best part, and they would rarely ever be the topic of a sermon, but maybe in these verses, in this crest, there's a message for us. A message about all the different kinds of healing that's needed in our families, in our churches, in our communities. Maybe there's a message for us, for you and for me, about needing to go someplace to rest, so that we can be fed and nourished. And what about the other part that Jan read for us? The other crest. The other part that also isn't well known. It's not iconic. What's in that crest? When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about whole region and began to bring the sick en masse to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might even touch the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. This part of the scripture is about Jesus healing people. Again, it's not at the same level of those miraculous stories in between. It's not as great as Jesus walking on water. At least that's not what it looks like at first glance. And probably it's because Jesus heals people all the time, all throughout the Gospels. We've read other stories about sick people coming to Jesus to be healed. They're brought to Jesus en masse. They come in crowds, and they reach out to touch his robe. This is something that Jesus does all the time. One such story is found in three of the four Gospels. Jesus is on his way to heal someone's dying daughter when an unnamed person, someone who's been suffering from blood hemorrhages for 12 years, seeks healing from Jesus. She thinks that if she just touched the hem of his robe, she'll be healed. So in the anonymity of a crowd that's pressing in on Jesus, she reaches out and she touches even the dirty hem, the dusty hem of his clothes. And immediately, the bleeding stops, and she is healed. Sensing that something has happened, Jesus looks around and finds her in that crowd, and Jesus tells her, her faith has made her whole. So we know these stories. Jesus heals people all the time. So this one doesn't seem that special. But there is one thing that's odd. In every town and city that Jesus goes to, in every town and city that people bring sick people en masse to see him, they bring them to the agora, which is translated as marketplace in most of our Bibles. But it was more than a marketplace, more than just a place to buy and sell food and other goods. It was a public space, and the only place where legal hearings can take place, where elections and debates are held. It's where government officials, religious leaders, and business owners gather to trade. to make their wealth and consolidate their power. In Jesus' day, the marketplace was a political and commercial center of a town or city. So anything that happened there was important. And this is the exact place where crowds of people brought sick family members, friends, and neighbors en masse to see Jesus. Can you imagine what that would look like? Hundreds or thousands of people lying on mats on the ground, coughing, bleeding, sick and dying in a public space meant for trade and holy court. The poorest and most vulnerable people were right there next to the wealthiest and most powerful people. The presence of this crowd would have stopped all buying and trading. Their presence would have disrupted any legal proceedings that were happening. This was a public space that was now occupied by those whom the world considers the least. So intentionally and unintentionally, Jesus and all those people who had hope and faith that he could heal them, they were taking up space and subverting the political and financial economy of each of these towns. Instead of Jesus walking on water and calming a storm, Jesus walks over sick bodies and calms pain and suffering. Something not quite as miraculous or awesome, but something important. People who have probably only ever heard of Jesus through other people, who heard about him through other people, those people came from across town or from neighboring towns, dragging their sick family members, friends, and neighbors to the field. They came hoping for a healing. These four verses aren't as well known. They wouldn't be considered the best part of the chapter, and they would rarely ever be the topic of a sermon. But maybe there's a message here for us. A message about all the different kinds of healing that's needed in our families, churches, and communities. Maybe there's a message for us about daring to hope, with the same kind of hope that people had when they took up space in a public place, where otherwise they might never go or feel welcome. Maybe there's a message for us about risking faith, to challenge the exclusion of the poorest and most vulnerable people in our community from these important spaces where decisions are made, and where discussions about how resources, power, and opportunities are shared. There's a message for us here in the lesser-known verses surrounding two